Welcome to episode 22 of Autograph Weekly.
Hi, I'm Bob from Autograph World, and you're listening to Autograph Weekly.
You're now tuned into the most entertaining, informative, and downright kick-ass autograph show that has ever existed. Here's Zane Savage and Double S with Autograph Weekly.
What's going on, autograph collectors? I'm Stacey Schaefer.
And I'm Zane Savage, and you're listening to Autograph Weekly, where we will feed your autograph addiction every week until people realize you're not going to win the lottery. Guys, there's not a key word hidden in the show. There's a key phrase. So you got to keep those ears open. When you hear that key phrase, run your little feet over to our Facebook page at facebook.com/autographweekly. Post that key phrase on our wall and you'll win something. What are you going to win? As always, we'll tell you later in the podcast. So chill. Chill, okay? Let's move on to the Mojo Mailbox as we do every show. Stacy, what was in your mailbox this week? Okay, now go.
Are you sure?
I'm sure. You
have positive?
I'm positive. Okay. For awesomeness.
All right. This week was a lot better than the previous two or three weeks. Actually got a decent number of TTMs in. Actually over double digits for the first time in a couple weeks, actually. Got the magic number knocked down to 600 now, so that's an awesome number to be at the end of March. So knocked 400 off the 1,000 list, so happy with that. TTMs this week, got some pretty big names. Got in Oliver Stone, that was via the Savage list, and I believe Mike had that at the Autograph Network as well. But I think
that address is no longer valid.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. So, because Oliver Stone does not want fan mail sent to that address. So it's been taken off the list. But the address that he does want fan mail sent to is on Star Tiger. And if you're going to sign up to Star Tiger, StarTiger.com. StarTiger.AutographWeekly.com. Okay. Go on.
You're good. You're getting good at cheap plugs.
I am. I'm the man.
Also got in Brittany Palmer signed 3 photos for me, so I was happy with that. Got in Patton Oswalt signed 3 photos as well. Kevin Bacon was happy to get that in. A lot of people received that the last week, so I was happy to get mine. These last 4 I got in were all pretty awesome successes as they all came with personal card responses or letters back, and those were Melissa McBride, and that address is on the Savage list. She is Carol from The Walking Dead. Signed both photos with awesome inscriptions on both, and actually sent a signed card thanking me for writing, so that was awesome. Frank Darabont, got him in as well. Sent me an 8x10, and also a card as well. A card that he actually had, a personal card he actually had printed up when he was writing Mission Impossible 3 and was traveling, and had a real nice note inside that thanking me for writing and apologizing for the super long wait because it was pretty close to a year. Also got in Dean Cundey, who is a cinematographer, signed 3 movie posters for me and also sent a nice letter with it. And got in Seth Gordon, which I was very happy with. I think this is the second try to hunt him down. He is the director of the King of Kong documentary. Wrote a real nice personal note on the back of that as well, talking about how he did that entire movie with just a handheld consumer camcorder and a personal computer, and that's how he made that movie. So that was pretty cool. That was pretty much it for the TTMs. Did get some Autograph World stuff in. Go over that real quickly. Got Anthony Anderson. Aaliyah Shawkat, I believe is how you pronounce her name. She played Maybe on Arrested Development. Got Elizabeth Moss from Mad Men. Paul Scheer from The League. Joel Silver, big-time producer. Produced Die Hard, Predator, Lethal Weapon, The Matrix movie, so I was happy to get that. And two more Walking Dead successes got Juan Pereira and Andrew Rothenberg. And Andrew actually played, now I can't even think of the character that he played in the first season, but he was part of the main group of characters, and he was the guy that got left at the side of the road in the first season.
No!
Yep.
Spoiler.
All right. That is pretty much everything I got from my Mojo mailbox. What about you, Zane?
It's always a good week when you get some bacon in your mailbox. But I did not. Some of the bigger names I got TTM were Rose Marie from the Dick Van Dyke Show, Tom Selleck, don't know if it's secretarial or not. I sent it to the National Rifle Association, and it came back from a different actual place than, I think that was in Virginia where I sent it, but it didn't come back from Virginia, so that's kind of weird. Oliver Stone, just like Stacy, but again, that address no longer works, but there is a working address. It should work. I think it's in Pactus or something like that. It is on Star Tiger. StarTiger.autographweekly.com. Mary Wilson, who was a member of the Supremes, actually have a private address for her, too. That is on the Savage List. Lauren Bacall. I know. I wrote to Lauren Bacall. Shoot me. But I had three photos that were signed by her son, and then there were pictures of her and him, and old Bogey, Humphrey Bogard. So she signed those. Now they're dual signed by her and her son. Awesome. Finally got in James Carville. It took about half a year. He signed three book plates for me. Oliver North signed a photo and a book plate for me. Dr. Jack Ramsey, and he's awesome. He was obviously a legendary basketball coach, but he had some amazing pants. Just Google Jack Ramsey and look at the images and just admire those amazing pants. Also got in Danny Aiello, and probably the biggest one was Coach K signed two books for me, sent straight to Duke University. Some pickups that I got were Frank Thomas on a Leaf signature card, Alfonso Soriano on a card, and actually had a little surprise for me waiting at the post office one day. Went there, and the guy that works the counter had a Don Mattingly signed Arby's rookie card sitting there for me. He gave it to me. I actually gave him or sold him one of the Coach K books for really cheap, and he thought he paid too little for it, so he gave me the Mattingly autograph. It was in person at his restaurant. Awesome piece. A lot of people are jealous, and actually have made offers for it, but I'm not getting rid of it. It's a really nice piece to add to my collection. On the book front, got in John Carey. Actually cut the signature out of the book that it was in and put it in my Kilmeade book, which I needed him for. Also had Phil Donahue come in, and that's really it. Not really big on the auctions this week. I have a few big names coming in on auctions, but not much volume. And that leads us to the badass book buy. And Stacy again is dry. Stacy, not much into books lately, huh?
Just haven't. Actually, the biggest issue is just I haven't had time to look on eBay. But
yeah, well, you know, so I like Stacy have been kind of cutting back on auctions, concentrating more on TTMs and the Savage List and sending stuff out through that. So, but I did get one awesome book buy this week, and that was Tip O'Neill, who was a leader in Congress for a long time, one of the main guys, and I got a book signed by him. Very happy to add it to my collection, and that's my badass book buy. Let's move on to the project, and guys, we have zero news on the Geek Week front, zero news on the project.com front, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to push project.com forward, so we're not going to worry about it right now, but we are implementing a new project, and that's Project BoobTube. And you're like, what? Another project? No, not another project. This one's going to be fun. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pick three of our favorite TV shows, and we're going to write to everybody that was in the cast that we can, and we're going to add up the points on a special page on our website so you guys can keep track. This is going to basically hold us over until we get to project.com, which is a really huge project we need to work on. But it takes a lot of time to dig up those addresses for project.com. For this project, a lot of those addresses are already found on Star Tiger. So it's going to help us out a lot with time. So Project BoobTube, what are your picks for your three favorite TV shows that you're going to be working on for Project BoobTube, Stacy?
All right, these necessarily aren't my favorite of all time.
What are your three picks?
My three picks, okay. First one is going to be actually one of my favorite shows that's currently on right now, and that's Justified. The next one is going to be Firefly. And the third one, I'm going back and forth here, and I think I'm going to go with... Actually, I'm going to let Zane pick his three, then I'm going to come back and with the... I'm going to let it sit for a minute and let you guys ponder.
Okay, whatever. You're a chicken. You're a chicken. Okay. my choices are Seinfeld. The other choice is... I'm going to have to go with Deadwood, one of my favorite TV shows of all time. And my third one's going to be Boston Legal, which is another one of my favorite TV shows of all time. So those are my three picks. Seinfeld, Deadwood, and Boston Legal. Now, what's going to be happening, we're going to take photos, probably cast shots and stuff like that, and send off to as many people as possible that were in these TV shows. And we'll talk about them every week if we get returns in. So we'll save all those that have to do with those shows for this segment about Project BoobTube. Does that give me enough time to pick one, Stacey?
Yep, I'm going to go with... I was debating between Castle and Friday Night Lights, but beans, I've already got a Nathan Fillion TV show in the other two. I will go with Friday Night Lights.
Okay. So you have our six shows that we picked. We'll have a dedicated page for that on our site, autographweekly.com. That should be up this week, so look forward to that. We'll keep track of everything, keep score, just like Geek Week. I'll probably kick Stacey's ass, just like Geek Week. So look forward to that, okay? Project BoobTube. Let's move on to the web deal of the week, and this is a very popular segment. A lot of people appreciate us giving these web deals out so they can go get those deals. What's your pick for the web deal of the week?
Mine is going to be none other than John Schneider, and you can get to his website at johnschneideronline.com. And once you get to his homepage, he has a shop online link. He actually has an online store plus an actual eBay store as well. But go to the online store, and there you can buy signed photos for $9.99. And he's got a lot of old Dukes of Hazzard stuff on there. I'm assuming there's probably, taking a quick look here, looks like mostly all Dukes of Hazzard stuff. I was kind of figuring there may be some Smallville stuff on here too, but it looks like pretty much all Dukes of Hazzard stuff. So, but 8x10 signed by John for $9.99.
Cool. Mine is going to have to be TJ Miller, and if you don't know who that is, he was in one of my favorite TV shows of all time, Carpoolers. It only lasted like 13 episodes, but it was a guilty pleasure of mine. TJ's been in a ton of stuff, and his website is actually TJMillerDoesNotHaveAWebsite.com. That's literally his website. TJMillerDoesNotHaveAWebsite.com. Or if you just want to Google TJ Miller, it's the first website that pops up. He sells signed headshots, 8x10s, for $5. $5 gets you a signed 8x10. Awesome deal. I'm all over that. I'm actually going to order tonight or tomorrow. So that's my pick for the web deal of the week. Well, let's move on to the news stories. Give us some news stories, Stacey.
All righty. My news stories. And we're going to start doing something a little different with the news. I'm going to give some updates on some TTM stuff that I get back, or Zane gets his stuff back, kind of like with the Tom Selleck that he got in his Mojo. He was talking about, wasn't quite sure if they're legit or... But this is, I'm going to use a couple people I got in this past week. One was an auto pin that I got in, and the other was a secretarial that I got in. And the auto pin came from Billy Crystal, and that was the address at the Face Productions address on Star Tiger. Actually, Jeremy Boss Hogg got this in as well this week, and those are auto pins. They came from, actually sent to Face Productions, but came back from Spanky Taylor, which is notorious for auto pins. That's the same place sends Johnny Depp stuff. So just a heads up on that. If you guys are thinking about sending to that, you're going to get an auto pin back. And the other item was a Carrie Fisher that I took a shot on. This was on fanmail.biz. There was a few successes a couple weeks ago, and no one had pictures posted as far as with the signature, so I took a shot. This was the address that was in care of Freedom Farms, and they came back as secretarials. So, just
and fun fact about that. It was thought for the longest time that Debbie Reynolds, Carrie Fisher's mother, actually signed Carrie Fisher's mail because the personalizations on them looked perfectly the same. Turns out Debbie Reynolds actually had a secretary signing her mail too, and this is the same secretary signing the Carrie Fisher autographs and the Debbie Reynolds autographs. So I don't know if the same secretary signed your stuff, but that was the case. It's been figured out over several years of TTM work. So kind of an interesting story there. Go on.
All right. And then my other couple quick stories here. Mike Tyson just signed a memorabilia autograph card deal with Upper Deck. So you can start to look forward to some Iron Mike autographs and mem cards showing up. And it looks like the first product that's going to be in is the Upper Deck Goodwin Champion, so be on the lookout for that. And they also say that Iron Mike will appear in several other sets in the months ahead, which all those are going to include autographs as well. So get some Mike Tyson autographs. And the other quick story is that even Taylor Swift gets autographs sent to her in the mail. And this is just a quick story here. Thought this was kind of interesting. She actually wrote and sings the main song that's on the Hunger Games soundtrack, and Suzanne Collins, the author of Hunger Games, as kind of a thank you for Taylor for doing that, she sent her a signed book. It was actually with an inscription for Taylor: "With much thanks for your beautiful songs, let the games begin, Suzanne Collins." So that's pretty much what I've got for news this week. What about you, Zane?
I've got one story, and it involves a fraternity. The name is a Cornell fraternity pledge had to dress up as Mark Sanchez and sign autographs in town. Not a very creative title, if you ask me. But the basic drift of this is they have Hell Week at Cornell, and they have their new pledges do crazy things, and one of the things they told this one guy to do was dress up as Mark Sanchez, because he kind of looks like Mark Sanchez, and sign autographs in this heavily populated area. And they actually have a picture of him signing autographs on this page, and the autographs that he signed, they have one example of it, and it's horrible. It looks nothing like. Of course, they're not going to worry about that stuff when he's signing autographs. Oh, that doesn't look like a real Sanchez autograph. They're not going to worry about that when they're actually just doing a prank. But it's kind of funny to look at. The news story will be put up on Autograph Weekly for you guys' pleasure. And the key word, or actually the key phrase for this week, is "say it ain't Sanchez." The key phrase is "say it ain't Sanchez." Say it ain't Sanchez. We have a treat for you guys today. On the line, we have Tracy Hackler. He's a former Beckett Magazine associate and the current hobby marketing manager for Panini America. Say hi, Tracy.
Hi, Tracy.
Or very original, very funny. we're going to cover a few questions first about you and card collecting and Panini. So let's kick that off. Explain your roles at Beckett and now Panini. What did you do at Beckett and what do you do now at Panini?
Well, I've had kind of a boomerang existence in the industry, but the short version is I was a journalism major at the University of North Texas, and landed an editorial internship with what was then Beckett Publications in the summer of 1995, which ages me quite a bit, and turned that into a full-time gig, luckily, and started as an assistant editor there and worked my way up. I was there for 5 years, switched jobs, and came to Donruss Trading Cards and worked on the advertising and marketing and PR side. Was there for 4 years and then went back to Beckett for six more great years. Ended up leaving there as a publisher. Had a great time there, a lot of great people over there, but had a really good opportunity back here at Panini America. And I've been here for about 16 months, and I've loved every minute of it. So it's here at Panini America, I as you alluded to, the hobby marketing manager, in addition to working on all of our social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, the blog. I also have a lot of direct interaction with the end consumer, the collectors who support us and keep us doing what we're doing, and try to do right by those folks always. And so it's been a blast every day, and I look forward to what tomorrow brings too.
And I think a lot of people that see your job are very jealous, because you combine one thing you're good at and one thing you love. You're basically your hobby, together into a job. And like you said, I guess it's a venture every day to go out and do what you enjoy every single day.
It is.
It must not be like a job. It's more like just it's what you do.
Yeah, it's look, it's a lot of hard work. There's no question about
that. Oh, yeah. I didn't say hard work. But
I thank my lucky stars every day. You know, I know I'm a blessed guy and have tried to take advantage of it, of every opportunity that's been presented to me and never look back. And I know there are countless people out there who would trade places with me in a second. And I never take that for granted.
And, you know, I think it's a really good thing Panini's doing, stretching their arm out to the social networking and stuff, because I think that's where card collecting and autograph collecting is now going. These little groups that have formed that talk about cards and autographs, people are learning the hobby more and the ins and outs of it and what's good and what's bad. And I think that's a good thing for the collectors, you know, people that really... Before, you maybe read a magazine like Beckett or something, but now you have interaction every single day with people that do the same thing as you. And I like that Panini's reaching their arm out and actually helping people along in social media.
Well, it's one of our goals to always be where our collectors are, and more they're online, whether it be Twitter or Facebook or whatever. And so we have to reach out to our loyal customers in ways that they can understand and appreciate. And it's, the internet's obviously changed things so dramatically. I mean, it's forever altered the landscape, but the instant nature of information and news, good or bad, it really is a eye-opening thing for a lot of people still all these years later.
All right, Stacy, hit him with the next question.
All righty, Tracy, do you think it's good for the hobby that it seems to be all about the hit and not about the card anymore?
You know, it's a good question. We obviously, there is a lot of attention paid to the hit, whether it be a certified autograph card or a nice memorabilia prime patch card, and those are key assets for any product. But we never lose sight of all levels of fan and collector. And if you look at a product that we just put out in basketball, 2011-12 NBA Hoops, which is a $2 pack, no memorabilia cards, a premium on photography and set size, and there are two autographs per box, but it's not a hit-driven product, and it's doing really well in the market. And we obviously have quite a few high-end products, stuff like National Treasures in football and Dominion in hockey and the new Preferred basketball that just hit, which is nothing but hits. But we don't expect those products, we don't direct those to every consumer. We know there are folks who love that and who will eat it up, but we don't. We also realize we have a core consumer that is also into more affordable, entry level mass market products. And so a product like Hoops or our really popular sticker and album collections have been really well received. 99 cents on the stickers per packet. There's a finite goal to chase, and we've had just as much success, if not more so, with those types of products as we have with our really high-end hit-driven products. So I think
it may be like part of us being old fogies, but like I look at kids collecting. I don't collect cards like I used to, but I'm obviously more into autographs now. But I look at these kids that do collect cards on YouTube and stuff and show off their stuff. I just remember back when I was their age, like I was chasing rookies and cards that looked really cool, maybe foil cards or something like that. And now it's all about the hits and the autographs. And it kind of depresses me, but then again, I'm like, well, things are just evolving. You know, you can't be stuck in the past all the time. It's not good for the hobby if you're stagnant. So, you know, I'm kind of torn on the issue. Personally, I'm an old fogey, but I can see where things are changing, and they're just going to change. There's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah, absolutely, but like I said, when you look at a product like Hoops next to a product like Dominion Hockey, I mean, there is a dramatic difference in those products, both in cost and what's being delivered. But I think there's still enough variety in our product roster to appeal to all types of collectors.
Right, and you actually, I had a Dollar Tree, well, the Dollar Tree got swept away by a tornado recently, but we had a Dollar Tree here that actually sold packs of your cards for a buck.
Nice.
I think they were...
Is the score?
Prestige.
Okay. Football. All right. Yeah.
So they're a buck. I think they were hitless, but I mean, still, for kids that want to buy cards, I mean, you can't beat a buck. So I thought that was a great great asset to the card community that he had those, you know, if a kid has a dollar in his pocket, he can still go get a pack of cards, and they're not out of his price range. So
right.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that the sticker and album collections that we do for the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, and coming soon the MLBPA, those products are phenomenal successes for us because it gives moms and dads incentives for homework or good grades or good behavior. 99 cents for a pack of the stickers, you get an album that's $2. It has a pack of stickers with it, and there's a finite end to that product. The sticker albums have numbered slots. You know exactly where the stickers go, and those in 2 short years. Those products have really come on for us, and that's where Panini globally kind of made its mark, is in the collectible sticker business, and I think we'll continue to see that grow.
And it's nice to see it like brought back to being actually about the card and not the price of the card, like a lot of cards are today. I think when you get down to those lower levels, you're happy to get a card that looks really cool or just an insert. Just because it's about the card and not, oh, this is worth $5 or this is worth $20. It's just a really cool card, and it's something to enjoy. So that's another aspect I like about it. Let's move on. What's all involved in supervising an autograph signing? We always see on the back of cards that this card was signed by so-and-so and supervised by so-and-so at the company. What's all involved in that process?
Well, we whenever possible, we have a Panini America representative witness the signing, and in many cases actually conduct the signing. But from start to finish, after we secure a player deal through the respective licensing organization that we have to get our player deals through, we in many cases here in Dallas, we actually, people in the office go to the signings, we take the cards,
right.
The stickers, the pins, and we go and we sit down with the players and we have a signing with them. A lot of times it leads to really great discussions with the players, and a lot of times players don't want to talk. They just want to sign and get done, and we certainly can understand and appreciate that too. But we, every player signs a sworn affidavit for us, but whenever possible, as much as possible, we have representatives there witnessing the signing, and in many cases doing them for us.
And I don't know which company this was with. I heard a rumor that Don Zimmer was actually signing for a company. I think it was Panini. It might have been Topps or something. But he actually had he's known for secretarials through the mail, having his wife sign or somebody sign for him. And he had that secretary sign the stickers, and they had to send them back and have him sign them because they're obviously different. I don't know if you've ever heard of that or
No, that's new to me. I don't think it was our company.
Yeah, I don't think it was Panini. It was actually a few years ago. It might have been with Topps, but I thought that was a funny story. But anyway, Stacey, go ahead with the next question.
All right, who goes out and buys the vintage cut signatures, and where do they buy them, or where do you guys look for them at?
We primarily people on our product development team, depending on what sport it is. We have guys on our product development teams who've been in this industry for decades and decades and decades. In fact, the combined experience that we have in our product development teams is no other manufacturer in the industry can match it. Guys who've been doing this their whole lives. And so those people are tasked with creating the checklist, the wish list, if you will, and then going out and acquiring the cut autographs. We work through various sources, reputable autograph dealers, and all those are approved by our licensor. So it's a rigorous process. We just put out a product called Limited Cuts, and it was one cut autograph per pack.
Wow.
I watched the guys kind of go through the process of procuring the autographs and scrutinizing everything, and it was a week-long process of just all day, every day in a conference room, poring over cut autographs possibilities on, you know, checks and receipts and 3x5s and photos, and there were a lot that didn't get selected for obvious reasons, but it's
I want that job.
It can be a laborious process for sure.
Oh, if I don't care if it's laborious, just sitting around with cut signatures of these amazing people all day.
It was amazing.
Drink them through.
It was amazing. I mean, we put a gallery of cuts kind of before they were cut on our blog, and it was a who's who of athletes and pop culture and entertainers, but it was a cool process to witness for sure.
That's awesome. Now, what was that one card you remember chasing as a kid, whether you got it or not, kind of your white whale?
Oh, that's a good question, man. I grew up, I got it. I mean, I grew up a Bronco fan in Texas, and so I was always keen on any Broncos cards I could get my hands on. But the one that stands out for me is the John Elway rookie card, which I was lucky to get later in life. I didn't, because a lot of our cards, as I'm sure you guys can relate to, ended up in the trash can because we didn't, like my brother and I, if we didn't pull cards of our players, we just chunked them.
Right.
And, you know, we'd go to 7-Eleven and buy our packs of cards, and if we didn't have the card that we wanted or guys from our teams, we didn't want to haul them back because we had a Slurpee in one hand and we had our other hand on the handlebars and we couldn't. So a lot of our cards ended up in the trash can. But yeah, I think any Bronco card, but the Elway rookie card is what stands out to me.
Now, did you grow up in the 80s?
Well, you know what? I grew up I was born in 1970. So
okay,
I'm an old man.
I was gonna say, if you grew up around that, like 86, 87, 88, if you chucked them, it doesn't matter. They're worth about as much as the trash bag anyway.
That was a high production era back then.
Yeah, just a little bit. Stacy's got the last personal question, then we'll move on to autographs.
Okay. All righty. I know Tracy's a big wrestling fan, so it's about our Super Bowl time. So who's going to win, Rock or Cena?
Oh, that's a good question, Stacy. You know, I've been racked. I'm more concerned with who's winning Undertaker, Triple H, but I think it would be really hard-pressed for the WWE to see to it that The Rock wins. I think in order to save face, because I think we all know The Rock's going to come in and he's going to get ratings for Mania and then he's going to head back out and make his next movie. And John Cena still has to stay here. And I'd be surprised if Cena didn't win. What's your take on the Triple H Undertaker match, Stacy?
I would like to see... I'm not a huge fan of the Taker, so I would like to see the streak go away, but I just don't... I can't see... They've let it go this long, so I can't see them not letting it continue, because I'm assuming it's going to be his last match.
Yeah, I was thinking somehow he will win, but Triple H will knock him into retirement, because he's only doing one show a year now.
Yeah, it's about all he can do. Shapey's
in. Yeah. Well, it should be interesting to see him. You know, somehow Michaels is going to come in and super kick Triple H, and they're going to set up their final match at next year for WrestleMania.
Yep.
Let's move on to the autograph questions, and Stacy's got the first one.
Alrighty, Tracy. With the increase of online selling and trading, do you feel it's helping or hurting the hobby?
Well, that's another good question. I think online, the whole internet boom has really altered the dynamics by how we buy and sell our collectibles. And I think if you're a buyer, and even now, if you're a seller, I think it's certainly made things more convenient. You know, I always equate it to the national sports show that happens every year. Back in the day, you waited all year long and you saved up your money to go to that show and find what you've been looking for all year long. And because you knew it was going to be there, it may take 3 or 4 days of searching, but you knew it was going to be there. Nowadays, I mean, the national is really at your fingertips on the internet. And as long as you do your research, and I mean, it's so important in this hobby, like any other hobby, to be informed, know what you're looking for, know who you're looking for it from, and I think if you do your research online, can be a valuable asset. But there's also a lot to be said for the brick and mortar, in person relationship side of things, and the customer service side of things that you might not always get online. So I think there's benefits to both aspects.
You know, I think it's a good point that doing your research can help you a lot in collecting whatever you collect. But I feel like the movement to everything online has made it easier for especially forgers to sell autographs, which flood the market with forgeries. And there are so many people that just want one autograph. They're not autograph collectors. They may like, I don't know, The Rock, and they want The Rock's mm-hmm. autograph. So they just go online, type in The Rock's autograph, they buy the first one they see. Most likely that's going to be a forgery on eBay. And in that sense, I think the online component is killing the autograph hobby. The sure. cards, obviously there's several different kinds of ways you can forge cards that people are messing with on eBay and messing with patches and stuff. But the autograph hobby, I feel like it's wearing down, and people are just getting sick and tired of it. So I think it's an interesting... Like, then again, though, you have the community part, which informs people on things like forgeries and strengthens a collector. But I think sure. the people that really get hurt are those marginal people that that don't really know a lot about the hobby. They just want an autograph. I think right. they're the ones that really suffer.
Sure, yeah, and I just think it's so key to I mean, even if you think you're only going to buy a $50 item, I mean, do the research that it takes. Know what it looks like. Know who sells authentic stuff and buy from them and save yourself a whole lot of heartache.
Right. Now, how many autographs do you yourself own?
Well, not as many as you guys. I can assure you of that. But I've... You know, if I had to ballpark it, man, I would say, counting certified autograph cards?
Yep.
I would say probably a couple hundred, maybe.
Nice.
Two to 300. I mean, not a huge number, but I've been able to pick up some. Obviously, I've been collecting for a long time,
right.
Primarily cards, but I would say a couple hundred, maybe 200 to 300.
I bet there's a Tebow or two in that collection, though.
Yeah. I would take the over on that, Stacy, but
okay.
Yeah, there are quite a few Tebows or quite a few Elways. Ed McCaffrey and Shannon Sharp and Terrell Davis, any of those guys I've tried to pick up at least one of, and on some of the guys I always try to pick up multiples.
All right, Stacy, next question.
What is the most expensive signed item that you've ever laid your hands on?
Man, that's another good one. This wasn't necessarily signed, but we, back when I was with Donruss, we purchased one of only three known to exist 1925 Babe Ruth pinstripe jerseys. And I think we paid about $267,000 for it.
Damn.
But in the collar of that jersey was the sewn in G.H. Ruth on the back of it. So obviously it wasn't his, he didn't put the stitching in there. He didn't sew it in there, but it did have his name monogrammed in it. And so it wasn't autographed. That might be the most expensive piece of memorabilia I've ever held in my hands. And we actually cut that jersey up not long after that, but,
dear.
So, well, yeah, that was a headline maker for sure. But, I'm trying to think of other items. I mean, we, on our Panini Authentic side, we have exclusive agreements with the likes of Kobe Bryant, Blake Griffin, Kevin Durant. And so those guys are always getting game-worn autographed shoes from Kobe and from Blake. And,
right.
So I think a pair of those shoes that Kobe may have worn in a finals or something would be a pretty – high-valued item as well.
Do you ever cry a little bit on the inside when they cut certain items up? It's like, no, just give it to me. I'll take it home.
Well, you know what? I actually had the Babe Ruth jersey in my backpack, and I actually took it home because we had gone to New York for a big event, and we came back, and we had a big press conference in Times Square, and we had Babe Ruth's daughter there, and she was speaking in behalf of or in favor of us sharing the jersey with hundreds of fans and collectors instead of it being locked away in a private collection. No one ever see it. But came back from that trip and had it in my backpack, and I realized, what in the world am I doing with this thing? I mean, it was just in my backpack.
You know,
there was no... And while we were in New York, we had armed security and all that, but I did let my then, like, one-year-old son try the jersey on, though.
Yeah.
Just in the interest of full disclosure. But, yeah, I mean, I see an item like that, really a historic piece of history. I understand the reluctance or the fervor that it creates by purists who think we're destroying history. You know, if it was the last of its kind in existence, I mean, I would probably feel a little bit differently about it.
Right.
But I think if we can share that with a lot of folks who will appreciate it, who get out. I've seen it happen countless times when someone pulls a cool card like that with a piece of memorabilia in it, they touch it, they smell it, they really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And so I think there is something to be said for that.
So, be honest, did you pull a little piece of thread on it and put it in your desk?
No, I didn't, but...
be tempting.
I may go... Oh, no question. I may go back in the acquisitions vault and see if there's any of that left.
That's crazy,
I'm
man.
Kidding. I'm kidding.
All right, Stacy, I think you got the next question.
All right. Who, in your opinion, has the best and the worst looking signature that you've come across?
Man, that's another good one.
We're good at asking questions.
Well, there's a long list of not coincidentally older players, legendary type players whose autographs are just absolutely beautiful. And they sign every letter, and you talk to the players, you know, we've had sit-down signings in recent months with guys like Deion Sanders and Michael Irvin. I mean, countless number of players, Mariano Rivera recently, and Ryan Sandberg. I mean, those guys cherish their name and their likeness and their signature, and they really respect the end consumer in that, and they care enough to give them a full signature. So there's any number of guys I would say, you know, I'm always blown away. I just saw a card today. It was a Jose Bautista card, and he signed. I mean, every letter just beautiful, bold. And he also signed his nickname Joey Bats on it, and man, just a beautiful card. So I think to pick one of them would be really hard for me to do. And then on the other side of the spectrum, the worst card. I mean, we've all seen check marks as autographs. Any number of young players. I don't want to pinpoint any one, but we oftentimes will require more than just that, and if we get something like that, we try to work with the player to say, hey, come on, man. Yeah. Not only are we paying you for your autograph, but people are paying us for your autograph, so we need to respect that and give them a better effort than that. So yeah, the check mark I think is probably the worst thing I've seen, and you could probably see that on a lot of younger guys. Not all of them, because like a guy like Von Miller is awesome, and Andy Dalton is awesome, and just, you know, Cam Newton has a pretty signature. Tim Tebow has a, you know, Sam Bradford is beautiful. So there's any that number of young guys who really care and who get it and who give their best effort. Blake is another guy who signs nice and for us. So there's any number of guys that are way more good guys than bad guys.
Have you ever seen the signature of Marty Marion? He passed away a couple years ago, but man, he played for the Cardinals back in the 40s.
Right.
Beautiful signature. That'd actually be a good set for you guys. Just like really amazing cut signatures for like the best looking autographs or whatever.
No question.
But anyways,
I mean, it's amazing.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's just amazing how much care and pride the older legendary type players take in their signature, because they know they get it. And Michael Irvin made a pretty good point. We were asking about his autograph and why he cares so much. And he goes, a lot of these younger players don't get it right now because they're just at the beginning of their career. They're getting lots of money. But he goes, at some point they will get it and they will understand and they will change their way.
Right. Makes sense.
Absolutely.
Next question. In what direction do you feel the hobby of autograph collecting is moving? Do you think it's growing, or do you think it's in decline? I know we talked about, actually, last episode, the advent of digital signatures and people signing on iPads and sending a JPEG to somebody's email as an autograph, or like right. people actually counting like when a celebrity retweets their stuff or a response to a tweet, they kind of equate that to an in-person experience now. Do you think the actual autograph hobby is growing or, like I said, in decline?
Well, I mean, I think the autograph is timeless, and it's instantly recognizable, and instantly everyone embraces the autograph and the beauty of it and what it means. And so I think it's still as strong as it's ever been, because, look, as we all know, as every new class of athlete or entertainer or sports entertainer, or I mean, there's always a new supply, and there's always a new demand, because it's just a never-ending process. And the autograph is as close as many of us will ever get to our heroes on the field and on stage and on screen. And so I think it'll always be strong. And I don't see it shrinking. And in fact, to your point, if you want to consider kind of the retweets or the digital autographs, I mean, it's kind of a subset of the autograph, and that's
right.
certainly grown in recent years. So,
right.
I mean, you guys obviously probably have a better understanding of that market than I do, but I would think that it's going to be strong. I know that autographs drive our products, and we provide an outlet for fans and collectors to get as close as possible to their on field, on court, on ice heroes. And I mean, it's probably the biggest driver for our product.
Whenever people ask me why I collect autographs, usually the answer I have for them is it's nice to have something from somebody you really admire that shows they spent 1 to 2 seconds doing something specifically for you, or something that you have that you can hold in your hands. And I think that's
sure.
really special. I think that's a big part of autograph collecting, and that's a main reason a lot of collectors collect. So I think you're right. That's not going away anytime soon. The only thing I'm worried about is corruption in the hobby, and like I said, forgeries driving people out, where I was like, well, this isn't worth it anymore. Half my collection's fake. What am I going to do now? I think some attitudes are leaning that way these days with all the forgeries. But, I think the hobby itself is here to stay for a while. I don't know what it's going to be like 100 years when everything's digital. I mean, your underpants are going to be digital in 100 years, so I don't know what it's going to be like then. But for now, I think we're okay. Stacy, last question.
All righty, Tracy, last one here. Where can people find you online?
Well, they can find us online at any number of places, Stacy, but at PaniniAmerica.net is our website. You can find us on Facebook, at The Panini America. You can find us on Twitter at Panini America, one word. And then I would really encourage anyone listening to check out our blog, The Knight's Lance, which is at paniniamerica.wordpress.com. And there's, for autograph collectors, we have tons of content, galleries of new arriving autographs, and stories of sit-down signings and interviews with players during sit-down signings. And it's a wealth of information. It's a great way to see new autographs, to see sneak peeks of new autograph cards that
awesome.
Are coming. So, there's any number of ways that I would – those are the main ones for sure.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Tracy, for being on. Thanks for answering all of our tough questions. We appreciate it. And, again, thanks for talking to us.
Hey, man, I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you, guys, and keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
This week's episode is brought to you by Squarespace.com. We use Squarespace over here at Autograph Weekly for our website. It's amazing. It's uncrashable, guys. If Autograph Weekly made the national news tomorrow and everybody started flooding into AutographWeekly.com, it would not crash. That's how good it is. Plus, it's very simple to use. It's called a WYSIWYG interface. What you see is what you get. You move things around, put what you want in there. Very, very user-friendly. Guys, I can't stress enough, if you want to make an autograph-related site or just a website for another hobby that you love, Squarespace is the place to go. You get a 2-free-week trial. You can use all the features you want. After that, use our promo code AUTOGRAPH to get 10% off your purchase from there on out. So go check it out, squarespace.com. And remember to use our promo code AUTOGRAPH once you decide to stay with them, which you will. If you do your 2 weeks, you'll definitely want to stay with them. Trust me. All right, time for a little Q&A action. Hit it, Stacy.
All right, the first question coming from Alex Joritz. In your entire TTM career, how many TTMs would you say you have sent out and not gotten back?
This is such an impossible question, but I've done some math. I've done some estimating, and I have an answer for you. I'm guessing about 60% of the TTMs I send out, I get back. That's a really rough estimate. It could be way off, but that's what I'm guessing. I'm guessing that I've sent about 3,000 requests in my life. Again, total guess, but it's probably something around there. So, taking those two facts into play, I come up with about 1,200 requests that have not come back to me. And that's my final answer. I know. Well played. What's your answer, Stacey?
Very nice.
I know.
This is just going to be a complete guess on my part. I said, I mean, if you're talking about my entire TTM career, it's been, I mean, this has been years and years and years. But I'm going to say it's probably pretty close to a success rate. I'm going to say probably in the close to 60% range, probably, is probably a safe number. Just for the last year, I was looking at this a couple days ago, and I think just this past year, I'm upper 50s, close to 60% as far as getting stuff back. So I'm just going to kind of stick with that. That's probably pretty close. I do enough research for most of the time that if I'm sending something out, it's usually going to come back. I mean, stuff's never promised to come back, but that's pretty much, I'm going to stick with that as far as, I'm going to say right around 60% for that answer.
Next question.
Michael Buzzard is asking, if you had a choice, would you partake in a concert/sporting event or spend the time in line for a guaranteed autograph from the participants?
Well, I don't know if he's talking about the autograph experience or the actual experience of, do I want to go to a concert or wait in line? Well, I'm going to say wait in line. Guaranteed autograph is always a good thing to me. I have never had the luck via venue. I stood outside a Kenny Rogers concert for 2 hours, and they basically shooed me away eventually. So I've never had the luck at those things. So I'm going to say the line. I'm picking the line.
I'm going to go with the concert/sporting event just because being in Iowa, I don't get a lot of that around here. So I mean, as sporting events, we don't have any pro teams here. So I mean, it's just college. But concerts don't come around here too often. So, and I mean, a couple of them. I mean, I've got to meet Weird Al after a concert here. So that was, I mean, that was pretty awesome.
That is awesome.
So I mean, I would go with that because the fact that I don't get to do a lot of that around here. Actually, I don't get to do a lot of the convention or that kind of in-person stuff either, but I would go with the concert and the sporting event.
Next question.
Zach Webb has got a couple for us. His first one is asking, what is getting an autograph matted mean? And I'll let Zane handle this.
Yeah, getting an autograph matted basically means, usually what you're doing is combining two things, usually an index card or a cut signature or an autograph that doesn't look good by itself with a really nice photo of that person. And it's basically a mat is a piece of really thick cardboard that people cut into and create holes to display these different items. So just think of a big black piece of cardboard, and you cut two squares. One square at the top that's pretty big for a picture, and then a little square below it for a signature, and you put a signed index card or a cut signature there. And those look really good framed. So that's really why people do matte pieces. Basically to take, I know a lot of people I know use it for index cards. If you have signed index cards and you want to turn them into a frameable piece, you obviously do a matte with a really cool picture above it. I'm actually going to do that with a Hugh Hefner coming up soon. I cut up a book plate out of a Hugh Hefner book, and I'm going to frame that with a picture of Hef with all of his ladies around him, because it's going to be awesome, and it's going to look awesome on the wall. So that's what a matte piece is. Next question.
All right, the second question from Zach is, if you could own autograph rights to anyone in the world, past or present, who would it be?
Silly question, because I mean, you said past, but I'm going to go with it. Anybody in the past. We don't like to talk about politics or religion on here, and I know you guys, you listeners, hate it when I talk about politics, especially. We've got some feedback. But I'm going to have to go with Jesus. I mean, a Jesus signing contract where you can have Jesus sit down and sign as many autographs as you wanted him to be pretty awesome. That's my answer.
What's yours? I don't know how I can top that. How
beat
about
Jesus? Beat how Jesus.
About, how about the Jesus of tech? I'll say Steve Jobs.
Yeah, that'd be pretty profitable. I don't know. Jesus still beats Steve Jobs.
Well, I can't beat Jesus, so.
Steve Jobs is close.
Or how about the devil?
The devil. Well, okay. Now you're going to get me into religion, and I don't want to go there. Let's just move on to the next question before I say something that's going to piss off half our viewers.
All righty. We got a couple from Michael Rhodes. The first one is, what is the longest you've waited in a line for an autograph? And then the second part of that first question is, what is the biggest fee you've paid for an autograph in person or TTM?
Jerry Lawler. I waited 30 minutes, and people who go to conventions are like, oh, 30 minutes? I wish I waited 30 minutes, and people. But I actually got his autograph at a baseball game. Jerry Lawler was there. He had a wrestling match, and he signed autographs. So I waited about 30 minutes for that. So I really haven't had a really bad. Actually, you know what? I waited about 45 minutes to get the Nostalgia Critic. Because I had to wait in line to get all my stuff signed at the anime con. So I guess that would be it. But, on the most amount paid for a person, I guess the money's going directly to that person. That's what we're talking about here. Probably Shatner. Probably William Shatner paid $24 to sign up for his fan club. I get a signed 8x10. Booyah. I can't think of anything more. I'm about to probably buy an Aikman. Aikman signs 8x10s for $25. If you write off to his foundation, and that's definitely worth it. So that's probably going to be my new one, but I haven't got him yet. How about yours?
All right. The longest I've waited, and this is pretty crazy for this, but over 2 hours to meet the American Pickers, and this was probably a year to a year and a half ago, I think. They were in Anamosa, Iowa, which is, I don't know, it's about 15, 20 minutes from where I'm at, but they were at a motorcycle museum there signing autographs, and it was just freaking crazy. I mean, we got there like an hour ahead of time. We still had to wait. We still waited in line for over 2 hours to get that, but it was a cool experience, so I was happy with that. And as far as fees, TTM wise, I don't think I've ever spent anything more than $10 maybe, and that was just to players that used former major leaguers that charged through the mail. Raleigh Fingers was one. Dave came in, but I think he was $5. Fight at Blue, $5. But as far as in person, the only thing I can think of was the TNA Fan Fest I went to, and that was like the ticket for that was like $100, but that gave you access to everybody that was there. You just had to wait in this different people's lines. So that would be the only thing I can really think off the top of my head. It's about the only time I've really paid for an in-person experience like that. So,
next question.
All right, AJ Kaiser. He's got a couple here. The first one, if you could get a baseball signed by an entire major league team from any year, what team and what year would it be?
Easy. 1908 Cubs, the last team to win a World Series. Signed by Tinker, Evers, and Shands, of course, and Mordecai Brown. That'd be the ultimate piece for me. I mean, that's it. That's my answer. What's yours?
All right, mine, it's going to be a couple of seasons, and these are kind of like Zane's as far as his Cubs thing, but these are San Diego Padres teams, the 84 and 98 World Series teams, just because 84 was the year that I started following them, and they actually went to the World Series that year. Got their asses whooped by the Tigers, but anyway.
I was going to say, isn't the great San Diego Padres team, isn't that an oxymoron? Like, I don't think there's ever been a great Padres team, has there?
Hey, I don't know, that 84 team that took care of your Cubbies.
Go on.
All right, and then the 98 team was the other one. They went to the World Series as well and played probably against arguably one of the best Yankee teams of all time, and I think, I don't know, they might have got, I can't remember, they might have won one game in that series, I don't remember. It was either one or they got swept, but those would be the two for me. And moving on, AJ's other question is, if you could be a personal secretary to any celebrity, who would it be?
I really don't understand this question, but I'm going to have to pick Robert De Niro. Just because the person that does the secretarial autographs, Robert De Niro, is utterly horrible at mocking De Niro's autograph. I mean, it's obviously secretarial. Now, me as a collector, that's awesome. Like, to be able to say, okay, that's obviously a secretarial from De Niro is a good thing. But if I had that job, you'd obviously want to do a good job of mirroring that autograph. And I could do such a better job than that guy does, or chick, whoever signs his autographs for him. So that's my choice. Robert De Niro. What's yours?
All right, I'm going way off on the board on this, too, because I don't know exactly how he met us.
What the hell are you talking about, AJ? We don't know.
I'm just going to go with one of the places that probably had the most fun doing this. I'm going to say Leo LaPorte at the Twit Brick House. So I could just freaking hang at the Twit Brick House with everybody.
Basically, what you're telling everybody is you want to be Leo's bitch. Oh, does
or whoever.
Does that mean I have to put a censored on this episode since I said, nah, bitches. I was talking about a female dog.
I could be Tom's. I could be Tom's bitch. I could be Sarah Lane's bitch.
There's so many bitch opportunities at Twit.
Veronica Belmont's there now, too. So,
next question.
All right. Next one. Andrew Deeds. And Zane's going to have fun with this question. What is your opinion on the rising missing packages from USPS?
You know, I obviously go insane when something goes wrong with the USPS. And I blame a lot of things. But a part of me says a lot of that's overreaction by us. Yes, we're paying them money to get something from point A to point B. And when it doesn't get from point A to point B in one piece or at all, we're not happy. But it's not necessarily the theories that we put out there, like the mailman stealing my mail is a very popular one. And I joke around a lot about that, but I don't really believe it. It's actually a federal offense, and if they get caught doing it, then they go to prison. That's not a fun place. So I really don't think that. I think it's literally just screw-ups and, you know, problems in the system, sorting and stuff. That's where stuff gets lost and damaged. It's just very frustrating when, especially, you have a Randy Johnson signed baseball, for instance, and it shows up and it doesn't show up, but the empty package shows up. It's not a good feeling, if you will. But I think there is a little overreaction on our part to say, oh, they're stealing our mail. They're taking it and selling it on eBay. I don't think that's the case. But I think their system has some major flaws. And it's frustrating when you pay money to get something from point A to point B and it doesn't get there. So that's really all I have on that. Just calm down. Say, ooze fraba. Calm down. And actually think about the situation. The mailman's probably not stealing your mail. There may be a few instances where that's happened before, but it's probably not happening to you.
All right. Myself, I have been pretty fortunate with this. I haven't had to deal with stuff being damaged a whole lot. I've had some stuff water damage here and there, but as much stuff as I sent out, as much stuff I've gotten back, I mean, probably not even 1% is the percentage of stuff that's come back damaged or ruined or got wet or whatever. I just look at it myself as just part of the hobby. Stuff's going to happen.
Well, the one thing
out of my control, and stuff's just going to happen.
the one thing that is constant is when that mailman, whoever you have for a mailman, sees that do not bend stamp, and they just take it and bend it and stick it in your mailbox. That's one thing I can't stand, and that is on the mailman. That is totally the mailman's fault.
And you see, and, you know how you solve that?
You get a bigger P.O. box.
You get a big old P.O. box at the post office like I got, and that doesn't happen.
Yeah, but do I want to pay
it? But
yeah, as I say, you pay a lot more for those bigger boxes, and I mean, you're going to look like a doof if you have a mailbox the size of Texas outside your house. I mean, that's not really an option. And heaven forbid the postman walks to your door. I've had plenty of experiences with that where the postman got sick and tired of walking to my door every day to deliver my packages. So they actually filed a complaint where I had to get a bigger mailbox or they're going to stop giving me mail. Like, don't get me started on that. Next question.
Well, I was just going to follow up, continue with that. I've been pretty fortunate as far as my mailman. Before I moved to the house I'm in now, I lived in an apartment complex for 5 years. Had the same mailman for the 5 years. He knew what I did. Anytime something did not fit in the mailbox, he knocked on my door and made sure he handed it to me. So I'm in one of those weird instances where I've been fortunate and pretty lucky as far as when I haven't had a P.O. box at the post office, I've had mailmen that kind of know what I do and are kind enough and considerate enough to, if it doesn't fit, they knock on the door, or they, if I don't answer, they try the next day. They don't leave it or try to stuff it in the mailbox. Or all right, okay. The next question is coming from Chris Vinoy. He is asking if we have any suggestions for getting information for agencies.
Well, I would say obviously Star Tiger would be a good place to go, but IMDb Pro seems like the best place for agency addresses. I've never actually subscribed to IMDb Pro. That is right, IMDb, yeah. And I don't think Stacy does either. Go ahead.
I had it at one time for a month. But okay.
You can talk more about it than me then.
That was like, I mean, that was probably like 5 years ago. And I mean, I used it some, but not a lot.
From reading forums, like different people in the hobby talking to each other, that's what I gather is the best place for agency addresses, IMDb Pro. That's what I've got. Because that's the place where everybody goes to post their information for people to contact them for roles and stuff. Actors use it for actually promoting themselves and having information out there for people, you know, choosing casting. So they have to have their agency stuff on there for people to contact them. So that's basically why it's the best place to get the agency addresses.
Yeah, so I think part of this, Chris was looking for, one, know if there was a free alternative to IMDb Pro. I don't really think there's anything out there that's free as far as trying to find agency information. I mean,
it's coming straight from the person. That's why it's the best choice. That's what everybody uses to find actors and actresses. So that's why it's the best choice. I mean, it's coming straight from the person. No other source is going to be coming straight from that person. It's giveaway time! The giveaway winner for last week was Carrie Moshman. Congratulations, Carrie. If you guys want to learn who won the giveaway this week earlier, go to youtube.com/autographweekly. We post our videos the day we pick them, and you'll know if you won before the podcast. You could be a psychic. You know you want to. Who won the Savage List giveaway? This is the last Savage List giveaway, guys. Who won this week, Stacy?
And that would be Trey Jones. So Trey and the other three people that won, I will be getting all your guys' stuff sent out this coming Monday. So you guys should be having stuff show up sometime in the middle or toward the end of next week.
All right. And this week we're giving away a John Cougar Mellencamp signed 4x6. That picture will be up on the website so you guys can see the autograph. To enter, all you have to do is take that key phrase that you heard during this podcast and post it on our Facebook wall at facebook.com/autographweekly. Boom, you're entered. It's that easy.
So are you rocking in the USA?
Yes. Okay. There's like a million songs you could do with his songs. He was an 80s icon. He's actually still got some good music out
there. Are you living in a pink house?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's move on to Graph of the Week. What were the results for last week?
All right, last week, if you guys remember, it was TTM Central with his Neil Patrick Harris TTM Success and G4 Webhead with his Summer Glow TTM success, and the winner was TTM Centra with NPH. Got 71% of the vote to G4 Summer Glow, got 29%. So actually had a few more people vote this week than we've had the last couple weeks, so that was it was a nice turnout for this week.
Definitely, definitely. This week, it's going to be the last week we do things the way we are doing it. We'll explain more about that later. But my pick's going to have to be Hugh Hefner. Not a TTM, but a purchase, an $8 purchase by Bloodspawn 80. So that is my choice. What is yours?
Mine is just an awesome success that Top Shelf TTM got. Sent a request out to Steve Garvey with a trading card and a jersey card. Got a personal note back from Steve saying that he was going to trade the jersey card for an actual signed jersey. So Top Shelf got a Steve Garvey signed jersey TTM. So that is my pick.
And guys, we want to remind you, if you think you have something that qualifies for Graph of the Week, a TTM or a purchase or an in-person success, please email or message us on Facebook or our email autographweekly@gmail.com and tell us about it, because that's really the only way we're going to know how people are getting these awesome deals. I mean, we have a few friends that we watch every single day, but we can't watch everybody's video every day. It's impossible. So we got to rely on you guys to feed us the information. If you think you have something that's awesome, please tell us about it, and we'll put it up here for Graph of the Week if we think it's worthy. Speaking of Graph of the Week, we're switching everything up next week. The way we have it now, purchases go against TTMs and such. We're not doing that anymore. We're going to install a new bracket system with Graph of the Week. Now, hold on here. Listen. Get everything stuck in your brain, because this is the way it's going to be for a long while. Hopefully forever. We're going to have two polls every week. We're going to have TTM of the Week and Graph of the Week. TTM of the Week, obviously, is going to be TTMs, and Graph of the Week is going to be in-persons, purchases, any other autographs you could have got. So those go with, like, purchases will be based on price, in-persons could be based on price or experience, and then obviously TTMs are separate from that. So that way it gives everybody a chance to kind of enter. Now here's how the bracket system is going to come into play. Every week the winner is going to go in a pot for the month. So we'll have 8 winners every month, one from the TTM, or 4 from the TTM polls, and then 4 from the graph polls. And then we'll have a graph of the month, a pick from that. That'll be an ultimate poll. And then we'll have, you know, those graph of the months pile up for the graph of the year. Now, graph of the year, guys, that's going to be one hell of a prize. I can tell you it's going to be bigger than any giveaway we've ever done. So your ultimate goal is Graph of the Year. But to get there, you got to be Graph of the Week or TTM of the Week first. And like I said, 2 polls a week. Those will be posted on the side of our website. We're not starting that until next week, but we did want to give you guys a heads up on how that's going to work. I think this is going to be a better system for everybody. Give you guys kind of motivation to send in those entries, if you will.
So, and the other thing I want to add to that, Zane kind of mentioned this a little bit, and actually did a video on YouTube about this today too. If you guys want us to make sure we're checking this stuff out, like I said, like Zane said, we're not going to have time every single day to sit and watch everybody's videos, but if you guys want us subscribed to your channels, just make sure you get us the YouTube links. You can hit us up in our PM inboxes on YouTube or on Facebook, send us a link or something so we are subscribed to the channel, so we're seeing this stuff. It's like, I know personally right now I don't have the time to go through and search for all these YouTube channels. So if you can make this one step easier, just get the information to us, and then we will get you subbed.
Yep. And that's pretty much the drift of Graph of the Week and how it's going to work from here on out. We want to remind you guys that Collector of the Month is now. It's now, guys. You have actually 5 days. You have to have your entries in by Thursday, which is when we record. Basically, what you have to do, guys, to win Graph of the Month is, or Graph of the Month, Collector of the Month. Got to keep all these things straight. Collector of the Month. To win Collector of the Month, you have to post a video showing all the autographs you got for the month or your main ones, and give us some stats and tell us why you think you should be collector of the month. Or if you don't have a video camera, just take a picture of the main autographs you got in for the month. Make sure to include a picture of your name or username to show that it is your stuff and not some random picture from the internet. And then tell about it, talk about it, talk about your stats and why you think you deserve collector of the month. That's going on this week. You have 5 days, guys, 5 days to do that. Thursday is the last day because that's when we pick a winner. So the winner of collector of the month wins either a book of stamps, a Star Tiger subscription, a Wink Flash $20 gift certificate, or a eBay $20 gift certificate. So, actually, two book of stamps, right? Yeah, it's two book of stamps, not one book of stamps.
Yep.
So, those are the prizes for Collector of the Month, guys. Get your entries in now. Don't hesitate. And remember, even on those entries, you need to send us links to them or post them. We prefer if you post them on our Facebook page at facebook.com/autographweekly. All right, let's wrap up this show, guys. Remember to go check out the Savage List at autographweekly.com. Hit the Savage List at the top. That's my private address list. It's going great. Just added Matthew Broderick to the list. Got a successful return from him, and it's not secretarial. So go check it out. Autographweekly.com. Hit the Savage List. Also, obviously, autographweekly.com itself. We have all of our information there so you can figure out everything and do all of our polls and see all the news stories and see all the podcasts and all the projects we're doing. Everything's there on autographweekly.com. Go check it out. And stacyschafer.com. I'll let Stacy talk about that.
Yep, if you guys haven't checked out my official website, it's at stacyschafer.com. Go take a quick look. Getting a bunch more stuff every day, more photos uploaded, getting the scans on there. That is where I put all my daily successes, go on the homepage. Also got the Autograph of the Day battle on there. That's going pretty well. Actually may have the first addition to the My Official Hall of Fame coming up here. If Jonathan Goldsmith wins, I think two more days, he actually gets retired and goes into the Hall of Fame. So that's pretty much what's going on my website. So,
all right,
check that out.
Moving on, we have Squarespace.com, our sponsor. Go check out Squarespace.com. Sign up for a 2-week trial. After that, use the promo code AUTOGRAPH that gets you 10% off of your purchase. And rate and comment on iTunes. I know like 50% of the people have not rated and commented. More than that, actually, we have a lot of listeners now. Like 3/4 of the people that listen to the podcast have not rated us on iTunes. Please! I'm on my knees right now. I'm begging you, man. Go rate and comment on iTunes. It helps us out a ton. It boosts our iTunes ratings where we get more listeners, which is a good thing. So that's pretty much it for this week, guys. I'm Zane Savage.
I'm Stacy Schaefer. As always, stay classy.
And you take care, all of you autograph addicts.
Thank you for listening to Autograph Weekly. Visit autographweekly.com for news, tips, and contact information. Balls.